season called Transfiguration. The angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't stand here grieving, for the one that you see leaving in like manner's coming back for you and me. And I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe that a trump is gonna sound so loud one day. Time is nearing that we'll soon see his appearing, and this could be the hour, yes, this could be the day when the saints from every nation will lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away. And I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day.
Let's sing it with her.
And I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day. It'll wake the day. And in the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. And I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe time is nearing, we'll soon see his appearing, and this could be the hour, yes, this could be the day when the saints from every nation will lose the gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away. And I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud someday.
He'll wake the dead. Oh, what an hour, what an hour. Inkling of an away. Oh, man, I can hardly stand to stop that. I want to go on, but we'll come back to it a little later. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. Well, I'm just glad to be here talking to you, and I'm glad to be on Open Bible Dialogue, radio, internet, Facebook. I don't know where all we are, but we're being heard, and it's the truth that we're going to say. We're not going to get involved in nothing but the truth. I just love the truth. I just love the truth. I want you to learn to love the Bible, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. That's the only version. I don't get in that big argument, but that's my version. Did you know I learned to read with the King James Bible when I got saved in 1952, 67 years ago, 67 and a half now, I got saved. I couldn't even read a lick. I mean, maybe a Dick and Jane book, if anybody out there's old enough to remember the Dick and Jane books, McDuffie readers, if you could remember that. That's all I could read, just a little bit of that. You know, but I learned to read the Bible with the King James Bible. And so why do I need to go anywhere else? I got the truth. I know it's pure. I have no doubt about it. I tell you, I know it's pure. Now, we're going to have a great broadcast. Like I said, we're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We kindly everywhere. And I like that because I care. And you know what I announced yesterday on the Facebook? That I'm back into my book, From Cobblestones to Streets of Gold, the novel on the great life of Apostle Paul. You see, I went to Turkey before Mama really began to get desperately sick and on her way to her crossing over to the other side. And I got about 300 and some pages ready. I like maybe 75 to 100. And so I'm back into it. Got into it yesterday. And I'm fixing to finish. I'm praying I can be through before school starts. That's what I'd like to do. Finish before school starts. And so it's going to be one grand novel. From cobblestones. That's what Apostle Paul as a babe walked on in the city of Tarsus. From cobblestones to streets of gold. I've been on those cobblestones, by the way. That's where I went before Mom became really bad sick. I want to tell you something, folks. Jesus is everything you need. Did you know that? Jesus is everything you need. Now, the program today is going to be entitled, listen now, Religious Wickedness, Crisis in the Church. Religious Wickedness, Crisis in the Church. I want you to remember those words, religious wickedness, crisis in the church. The church is in, now this is prophetic. This is prophetic. I believe this is the very mind of God. The church is in her last crisis. The church is in her last crisis. And the church is going to go now two ways. The church is going to continue in the crisis, compromise, departure from the truth, into every kind of religious doctrine you can imagine. I mean, everything of error. And that will go right into the tribulation period. But there's another church, and that's the pure body of Christ, God's people, God's holy people, God's sanctified people. And they're going to have a fresh awakening of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that awakening is coming. I believe it's literally at the door. I believe it could begin at any moment. I'm looking for it any time. I am anxious for that awakening. And that awakening is going to be among the pure people, the Bible-loving, pure body of Christ, the people that are godly. And that's the crowd. They're going to get ready. They're going to get better ready for the rapture, and they're going to be out of here. And that other church is going right into the tribulation, and they're going to serve the Antichrist. So the two churches, you got to get this now, two churches evolving. One is not evolving. One's going back into the truth, seeking the way of the Lord, loving after the Bible. The other is the false church going deeper and deeper into religious wickedness. I want you to notice that term, religious wickedness. Now, that comes out of the Bible, by the way, except the Bible says spiritual wickedness, but meaning basically the same thing, spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me read that to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the wicked days. Or stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's a liar. He's wicked. He is sharp. He's full of wiles. W-I-L-E-S, that means witty ways. He's like an old fox. You know, he finds his way to put his nose in everything. And he does it, and does it very capably. He's had 6,000 years of effort, okay? He's been going ever since he was thrown out of the garden, out of heaven. And then, of course, he has continued to learn wicked ways, and he's a witty old fox. He's a dark old fox. He's a dark character. Now, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Notice that we're against principalities. Now, this is what is against us in the church, principalities. That's the highest hierarchy of the devil. And then powers, that's his sergeants, those that rule under the lieutenants. And then he's got the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then he's got spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness, religious wickedness. Same thing. spiritual, false spirit, of course, which becomes religion. He's got religious wickedness in high places. Now, this is the crowd in the high places of the church. High places of religious dominion, of religious entities, of religious efforts. I mean, they're everywhere. The Catholic Church is an incredible example of this. But the Charismatics have come to be an equal part of that. And now we got the Evangelicals that's gone after the Rick Warrens and all this crowd that deny the reality of a born-again life. I mean, you've got religious wickedness like there has never been in the history of the Church. And they will continue. They will grow in money and wealth and prestige. They'll get along great with every ultimate power of the political world. They don't care whether they're liberal or conservative. The ultimate fact, if you look at what's going on in America, it's the hierarchy of the liberal religious crowd who are 100% against Trump, 100% against him. It's the more conservative, and not all of them are real conservative. There are many religious wickedness even among them that are willing to support the conservative thought. Well, friend, we're just in a crisis. It's the most unreal crisis I've ever imagined, and it's developed. I've been on this radio doing this very program 45 years now, 1973, 74, writing. I don't remember the exact date. I wish I'd wrote that down somewhere, and I would love to find that if somebody could help me at WHVN. We should work on that, I guess. But we're talking about 45, 46 years I've been right here doing this, and I've been telling you what's happening, and you know I've been right on target. I've stayed in the Bible. I've stayed with the Scripture. I've not gone off in some mushy world. I don't have anything of my own to bring to you. I'm not some kind of smart dude that knows things that the Bible don't even talk about. I'm not into that stuff. I'm sure to tell you what the Bible said. And I'm telling you that the religious world, the whole religious world, is going in two directions, and you must decide which direction you want to go in. You want to go with that emotional crowd that can put on a show and do all kinds of things that are attractive to the eyes, but empty of any principle of the Bible. If you want to be part of that, you go ahead. Nobody can stop you. I can't stop you. I'll try. I'll tell you the truth. I'll be after you. I'll be for you. I'll pray for you. I'll stand with you. But I'm telling you, we are in that crazy hour. We are in it. And that part that's good is not going to get worse. They're going to go back. And that part that's evil is going to get worse. They're going to go forward. And so these two movements are taking place. And most of you are in the bottom foundation of that second, the bad movement. You just don't know it. And I'm here to try to tell you. You need to get out of those liberal churches. Get out of those emotional situations. Get out of that put-on-a-show kind of church world. Get out of it and get you a place that teaches the Bible and is more concerned about principles than they are mighty shows. You know, I'm concerned with principles. The Bible is a book of principles. And I've got eight things I hope to tell you. If not, I'll put them on the screen of the crisis in the church and a picture of them that's quite overwhelming. The younger generation is taught to be all about personality without substance. The Bible is all about substance and doesn't care very little about personalities. God will use anybody to let him. He don't need a highfalutin dude. He can use an old common character like Brother Chambers. And that's what we need. There are eight of those, and they'll be on the screen after the program is over. And you'll be able to read them and share them. And I'm hoping they'll go to many different directions and touch and help a lot of people. But religious wickedness in high places. Religious wickedness in high places. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians a moment, and then we're going to go to the book of Jude. I've never spent much time in Jude, but Jude, he was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus, had the same mother, and then, of course, had Joseph as his father, which was the stepfather of the Lord Jesus. Listen to me now. I want you to hear what Brother Chambers is reading to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, religious rulers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, I went into that last week, so I'm not going to go back there today. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 6. Read it several times over the next days and apply to yourself those things he say you need to do to get yourself capable of standing in these wicked days. You better learn to stand. You better learn to be a dedicated, on fire individual. You better get some fire in your heart and get some oil in your lamp and get some Bible. Put on the loins. Girt the loins with what? Truth. Girt the loins. Wrap the Bible around you. I mean, wrap the Bible around you. I don't mean so much the book. I mean the words in the book. Wrap them around your life and around your heart, friend. If you live in the Word, you can stand whatever comes. You can withstand every kind of deception out there. If you go by the book, go to the Word and say, not going there, I'm going to the Word, to the book. I'm not going there, I'm just going to stay in the book. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to go anywhere but stay in the book. That's just where I'm going to stay. Now, let me take you to Jude, and let me read you a little bit. We'll begin with verse 11, okay? Now, you need to listen to me. I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to get you ready to make sure you don't go to that in that false church. You know, I'm telling you, you cannot discern that false church by your emotion. You can only discern that false church by the Bible. Your emotion will deceive the devil out of you. Your emotion will take you down the bad road. Your emotion will do all kinds of things with you. Get in the book. Let the book guide you. Nothing but the book. Nothing but the Bible. Nothing but the Bible. Now listen. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they've perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Now, you can take that verse and go back to the Old Testament, to Balaam and Kore and all those characters, and you'll get the perfect example of what Jude is talking about. How good people were led astray and didn't even know they were being led astray because the wittiness of the old devil had took them down the false road. These are spots, he said, in your feast of charity. There's spots even in your church. There's spots. Oh, they get in your church and they'll make a little noise and they'll put on a good show. And they'll have you thinking they represent substance when they just represent noise. They just represent their own fleshly desires. So these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Now notice, they are clouds without water. Clouds. They're just a lot of noise. Clouds with no water in them. You know what that is? You see floating, fleeting clouds that breeze across the sky in the daytime. Not a bit of rain come out of them. Then you see this old black cloud coming, and you can say that bud is full of rain. She's full of water. And down pours the water. Well, he said these folks in churches are like the clouds, the fleeting, fluffy clouds. They're fluffy. They make a lot of picture. They look fancy. They're spots in your feast of charity, he calls them, when they feed with you. Feeding themselves without fear. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Carried about of the wind. Trees whose fruits withereth without fruit. Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. You know, you can use to tell a real person because they're fruit bearing. They win souls. They do good things. They bless the handicapped in the church. They support the pastor with great support and great. They can pray a hole through the sky. These are good people. Raging waves. He speaks of this crowd. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I mean, I'm telling you, you got to listen to me. That is the perfect picture of the false crowd. That's the perfect picture of a church like Elevation. That's the perfect picture of a church like T.D. Jakes. That's a perfect picture like the doctrines of the Rick Warren. That's a perfect picture, like all these different religious crowds out there who can put on a show, They can draw the crowds. They can pull in the fancy dollars. They're big time. They're big time. And he says that's the kind they are. And he said they're raging waves. They don't have any water in them. You ever been to one of those meetings and there was a Holy Ghost visitation? I've watched Kenneth Hagin in a video I did. And he was going over the church blowing on people. And they'd fall out when he'd blow on them. He'd say some kind of crazy thing. And down on the floor they'd go. And they would twisting like snakes. And he walked over. And he came over to where there was a section for the crippled. And there were people in wheelchairs and people in all kind of crippled situations. He walked over there to the edge of that and turned away from it and walked right back to the crowd of the pretty boys and the pretty girls and started blowing on them, and they started falling out in the floor. Not a one of them got a miracle. They didn't even need a miracle. They were sitting there in their fancy clothes, but the folks over there in the wheelchairs, he didn't have time for them. Now, that's how you judge good and bad. That's how you judge the right and the wrong. A real man of God can walk up to someone sick and he can see a miracle of healing. He can see a glorious thing happen. Oh, God's a God of miracles, my friend. Now, you read this book of Jude, and you see exactly what it is. Let me read on. To execute judgment upon all and convince all that the ungodly are among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against the Lord. These are murmurers, he calls them, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's a person in advantage or in admiration for their advantage. They're always dropping big names, dropping the name they think somebody will be moved by. You know, this is a showboat crowd. That's the best way to describe them, showboat. Showboat religion. For beloved, remember of the words which were spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last days, walking after their own ungodly lust. Walking after their own ungodly lust. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right, you can tell the crowd the difference of the show crowd and the crowd over there on their knees praying and seeking God until the Holy Ghost comes down in all of His splendor. I mean, every church is going through this crisis. It isn't just us here. We're going through it, yeah. We got some, and you always see when you got somebody who rebels, they hurt other people. You see somebody that's a good, decent person that gets caught up in that. And you say, what in the world can I do? How can I help them? And all you can do in most cases is pray. And just keep on being nice and being kind. Now Jude is an excellent picture of this very thing I'm talking about, religious wickedness in high places. Religious wickedness in high places. I mean, they are sensual. They are selfish. They're lovers of pleasure. They're lovers of all kinds of things for fun. They like anything that's spectacular, but nothing that's nitty-gritty, you know, down-to-earth work. Well, a church, a real church, is a nitty-gritty place, a great Christian school like we have, the ministry of open Bible dialogue like I'm doing right now. We got people in the rest homes. We just like every kind of ministry you can go to and get part of and be a blessing to people. That's what we want, to be a blessing. So Jude is a powerful book. Now, I've got so much to read. We're going to go to Matthew 24. We're going to go to Revelation 3, hopefully. We got numbers of places. I do want to take you over to Daniel and show you something that's very prophetic. Let me see if I can find that right quick. In Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11. Get your Bible. You'll like this verse and you'll want to remember it, okay? You will really want to remember this verse and maybe use it in your class. Share it with your pastor. God knows our need is great, and the Bible is where everything good is. I'm trying to hurry here, and when I try to hurry, I don't do very good at it. All right, I think I'm there. But such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. You take a person who is, you know, in that corrupt vein. They love to be flattered. They need somebody bragging on them. They need somebody pumping their ego and pumping their self-esteem. And he says this would be how they would operate. They would operate by flatteries. They would live by flatteries. They would need to be pumped up by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, I'm talking to that crowd on the right. That crowd on the right who are absolutely sold out to the King of Kings. They love the Bible. It says they shall do wonderful things. Listen to that again. I want to read it. Others will be corrupted by flatteries, but they that do know their God. Now, you got to know God. You got to know God. And they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Exploits. Oh, the glory of God's real people and their exploits. They count for God. They can make an impact. They can move on the lost. They can get a hold of those in need. They're God's people. They're good people. They're going in the right direction. Now, I got to help you. I hope I'm doing that. You've got to watch out for this religious wickedness. Anything that's not according to this Bible. This Bible is the source of all judgment. Everything has to be judged by the Bible. Nothing but the Bible. Nothing but the Bible. If you go in any direction but the Bible, you're going to be in the wrong direction. If you go after flatteries, if you go after those that are prestigious and those who can put on an exploit, put on a show, they can do all kinds of things that are, you know, big and mighty and overwhelming. Just watch it, my friend. Just watch it. I'm telling you, this is that day. That day. Now listen. Listen to me. You got to understand, we are living on the Christ the hour. Now, I told you early, if you just joined us, there are two religious movements. One's becoming more and more liberal. They're going deeper and deeper into religious flatteries, religious doctrines that have no biblical base. They're going after emotional things, anything that's a big show. There are churches now that paint their ceilings black and they put on all kinds of lighting and they darken the congregation and light the stage, put everybody on the spot up there and they're just doing a show. The church house has become a show house. The church house has become a show house. Instead of beautiful worship, melodious music that lifts you into worship and praise, it's music with emotion in it that drives your flesh and puts dancing in your feet and gets you in some kind of emotional state. And that satisfies the majority of people in the religious world. They don't want to dig into the Word and grow deeper and deeper in the Bible. They want to get off out there in some tangent and have a little pity party, you know. I'm crying out for you to get a hold of the book, to get a hold of the book. Listen to this now. But pray you, I'm sorry, let me find the right scripture here. I wrote it down somewhere, and now I want to read it to you. I want to read it to you. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, and then shall the end come. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver. Here's, I wanted to read this to you. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. I'm listening to this, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Good people today are not the people in the limelight of the world. No, no, no. They're not the people in the limelight. They really aren't. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, all of this is in the church. Now, I'm talking about religious wickedness. religious wickedness in the church, in the house of God. Two forces, one going God's way, praying for sovereign awakening. I was talking to Kenny Morris the other day. I was talking to Tim Cawley. Tim Cawley is from Louisiana. Kenny Morris is from Mississippi. They're both old timers. They're the great preachers of our generation in the Pentecostal realm. And they're praying, just like I'm praying, for a sovereign awakening. They know it's coming to God's people. And not that crowd in the big-time religion, but that crowd in the old-time religion. You see, the real difference between big-time religion and old-time religion. Big-time, old-time. Big-time, old-time. You can always judge to some degree. Now, that's not the only judgment. The Bible is the ultimate judgment, okay? The Bible is the ultimate judgment. But big time, old time. Big time, old time. I just want to be part of the old time crowd. I don't want this new stuff. I don't want this new fling ideas. I mean, I'm hated by a lot of people because I won't follow after the new way of doing things and the new kind of religious action. I don't want a big religious show. I love it when a shout comes to the house of God. But don't give me a shout that you got to work up and you got to feed it with emotional music until you can get it to the level that people just go bananas. That's not the kind I want. I want the kind where the Bible is the center and the Spirit of God is moving and sinners are falling under conviction and getting saved. When the Holy Ghost moves, I promise you, people will fall under conviction and they will start getting saved and getting right with God. And that's what I'm hungry for. So read Matthew 24 and look at his message to the church. This is to the church. You got to hear that now. This is to the church. It's not to the world. It's to the church. It's what God is saying about the difference between the religious crowd that's going after the Antichrist and the religious crowd that want the Lord. You know, Jesus is the center of those who really want the Lord. And the message will always be out of the cross. It will be the gospel. It will be the glory of the gospel. It will be a work of sanctification and grace in the human heart that makes one pure and holy. It'll be a love for things that are godly and things that are holy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall have the kingdom of God. You know, on and on, read those Beatitudes of Matthew 5, and they'll give you the picture of the real. They'll show you the picture. Those Beatitudes is a perfect picture of the real. I promise you that. Matthew 5. You're going to read that when the program is over, and you'll see a picture of the real. But here Matthew 24 is talking to the church and warning us of the hour in which would precede the great end time. And boy, are we in the end time. Judgment is coming like a storm. Remember last week, the program was all about a world that is about to tremble. A world that is about to tremble. I plan to preach in the morning on an exciting message of the glory of the rapture. The magnificence of that moment of the rapture. How that rapture is going to occur all of a sudden, all within a moment's time, without notice, without warning. Nobody will see it in the newspaper. Won't be on television. Won't be on face media, on social media, Facebook or any other particular. It will just happen. And all of a sudden, you will suddenly realize the rapture is taking place. Something is happening, and you will feel it. If you know anything about God, even if you aren't ready to go, something will tell you, you just missed the grandest thing that ever happened, because that rapture is about to occur. I'm looking for it any minute. The only thing that I believe can precede the rapture is a Holy Ghost awakening, and I believe that's on the very doorway. I'm looking for it any moment. I go in that sanctuary, and I get in there, and I stay. I don't just go 10-minute prayers anymore. My prayers are for hours, and I wait on Him, and I'm watching for Him. Sometimes I just expect it to happen right while I'm in there praying. I look to hear the fire trucks coming, that the house of God is on fire with a heavenly fire, not the kind of the fire people can put out. Friend, we are on the verge. I'm expecting it maybe tomorrow while we're having church. Wouldn't that be wonderful if God's glory? I remember seeing the glory of God when I was a young Christian, 1952. I saw the Shekinah come down on that old tabernacle over there on Wilkerson Boulevard when the Church of God was there. You know, you remember that day? No, most of you won't live in, were you? 1952 is when I got saved and come to my first camp meeting. And I saw the glory. I saw the Shekinah. It's going to happen again, friend. It is about to happen. That's the crowd that's getting ready for the rapture. The crowd that isn't getting ready for that sovereign awakening are getting ready for big time religion. And I know so many good people that don't know these distinctive differences. Now, some of that crowd will join this crowd when the sovereign awakening takes place. And some of this crowd will probably join that crowd when that move of God takes place that they don't want to be a part of. And so the dividing day is going to continue. The dividing day is going to grow. And you'll see people swapping sides right down to the end. You know, if somebody's carnal and worldly and fleshly, and all they want to do is live an old secular, wicked life, they're not going to like a sovereign revival of God. They're not going to like a revival that calls them back to holiness. Those women aren't going to want to give up their worldly attire, you know, quit dressing like a man and start dressing like a lady. It'll happen in the sovereign revival. You say, oh, no. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. It happened in the Methodist day. It happened in the day of the Presbyterian revival. It happened every time there's ever been a revival. People returned to godliness and purity and separated themselves and started living a clean life. Won't be no Jezebels up in heaven. You just make up your mind, friend. You look like a Jezebel, dressed like one. You aren't on your way to heaven. You've got to get that in your head. You say, Brother Chambers, I know, I understand. But I'm giving you the Bible. Come out from among the world and be your separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. That's what he said. Come out from among the world and be your separate. S-E-P-A-R-E-T-E-R. S-E-P-A-E-R-A-T-E. I'm telling you, separate yourself and get yourself in the holiness vein and start living a pure and godly life. I believe in holiness, friend. I come out of the Church of God denomination. I was in 40-some years, loved it. I loved those people. I still love so many of them. I still love those old-timers, Ray Hughes, Wade Horton, R.P. Johnson. Oh, I could name just one after the other. They fed me. They poured themselves into me. Anything I know good mainly came from those old-timers. See, greatness don't come up. It comes down. Greatness don't come up. It comes down. Other people full of God can put greatness in you. God himself will put greatness in you. But it never comes up out of here. You don't have it in you. Quit thinking you do. Quit acting like you're some kind of celebrity that knows all of it and you got the goods. The Bible alone has a picture of the good. Well, I hope I haven't lost anybody because I love you. I love you. I really do. Now, I want to get the lines open. I got to talk to you. You got to call me and tell me off, ask me questions. And let's talk about this religious wickedness. I get calls all the time. Had a call this week from a precious lady named Jewel. She's up out of Pennsylvania, I think. Went to South Africa with a crowd of them and had a great time of over there move. She's been to Zimbabwe. And started a college over there for those people. I don't know anything about it. Don't know the good or bad. But I'm telling you, her question was, where is the church? Where do we go to church? I got a new family just moved to North Carolina. She told me the place, and I didn't recognize it. A community that I'd never heard the name. She said, they can't find a church. I said, that's true everywhere. People go to a church and it's not like it used to be. It's not solid. It's not a preacher up there preaching the Bible and leading people in the scripture, helping people to grow up and mature and become usable to God. It's not the kind of melodious singing that lifts the spirit and raises the heart. It's more of a fanfare of emotion that gets dancing in your feet without anything in your head. No. We're old-fashioned, and you'll love it. And we're not going no other way. Nobody's going to take us no other way as long as I'm living. I mean, I'd rather the place burn down than go off into the charismatic liberal world. No, want nothing to do with that. I know what the truth is, and I live in the truth, and I want you to live in the truth. Grab your phone. Would you grab your phone right now? I want one call after the other for the rest of this time, 22 minutes, 23 minutes, 24 minutes, something like that. Let me give you the phone number here. I was trying to find it at the wrong place. The phone number here is 391-0588, 391-0588, 704, of course. Dial quickly. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to send you this material. I really do. I love you. You're important to me. You're very important to me. And I just want to be a blessing to you. I really do. I really do. Now, you know the name of this program. Very important. You understand religious wickedness, crisis in the church. Religious wickedness, crisis in the church. Now, grab your phone. I'm waiting for you. I want to answer questions for the rest of this program. I want to talk to you. Tell me what you see out there. Tell me what you're experiencing. Tell me what you're hungry for. Tell me if you want this old path. Tell me if you want to get back in the Bible and become a sold-out saint. We're going to go to Revelation 3 in a minute now. Don't you go nowhere. Don't you leave me. Don't you leave this program. Stop it. Don't go out that door. Come back in. Sit down. I want you to listen to what Brother Chambers is saying. I really do. I want you to get yourself ready to be part of that crowd on the right, not the part going left like, you know, I get amazed at this religious crowd. I mean, they are out. They're out for my blood. Believe me, they don't like me. That's okay. I like them anyway. I'm praying for them. I care about them. I call their names in prayer because I don't want anybody to be lost. Now, are you calling? Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. My phone's ready for your call. Grab it quickly, and you can order this booklet. You can order this booklet, Spiritual Wickedness, A Crisis in the Church. Spiritual Wickedness, A Crisis in the Church. And don't call my ladies up and try to talk a long time to them. They answer the phone, okay? I don't tolerate that. You got a call. If I can be a blessing to you, I will love it. And I will talk. I want to talk to all of you I can between now and the 2 o'clock hour. And I want to reach you. I want you to share this with everybody. Religious wickedness in high places, churches, pastors, religious people after every kind of thing you can imagine, but the Bible. You can always judge by the Bible. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. The Bible is as pure as the sun shines. The Bible is pure as gold tried in the fire 9 times over. The Bible is absolute. The Bible is absolute. Now, the phones are ringing. I hope they're ringing for good, not just somebody trying to mess up everything. But grab your phone. I want to talk to you. I really do. I want to help you. I want to get you going the right direction. I want you to be a part of that crowd on the right. That crowd that obeys God, lives a pure, godly life, goes in the right direction, refuses anything but truth. My gracious, the phone lines have been busy. I do think they're having a problem, but I can't handle that right here. All I can do is talk to you and be a blessing to you. Line 3, give us a call now. We're here to be a blessing to you. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Good afternoon, Pastor Simon.
Hey there.
This is Kathy Meyer. We came to your treatment a couple weeks ago.
I'm trying to get you where I can hear you good here. Let me work on this phone a little bit. I hope I've got you now. Speak up slowly and softly, okay?
Yes, sir. This is Kathy Meyer. We came to your camp a couple of weeks ago. We just enjoyed it so much. I do have a question.
Okay, I want to try to answer.
If you are in an area where there are no churches that are teaching the Word of God, is it okay to find like your ministry or like Pastor Dan or Brother Clarence Sanders? Is it okay to watch your services online until you can find a church?
You know, I'm having the hardest time understanding what you're saying. Are you on the speakerphone?
No, sir.
All right, so try again and speak real plainly for me, okay? Go ahead, I'm listening. Hey, I'm listening, ma'am. Please go ahead. Hello? Well, I guess I lost her. Give us a call back. I'm wanting so much to be a blessing. I'm bringing you something that's really overwhelming. The day is here, and I prophetically say this now. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, and prophetically, I'm telling you that the church is now a two-prong institution. There's one prong going after the Antichrist, full steam. They're going far beyond the Bible. They into all kinds of versions. They hate the King James Bible. They love these new Bibles that don't give you nothing absolute. It's just a list of suggestions. They love that. That's the way this world is going. It's a crazy situation. It blows my mind. And you got to get in one or the other. You already are in one or the other, to be honest with you. You may not know it. But you better figure out where you are. You really had better figure out where you are. Now, you're on the air. May I help you?
Yes, sir. I'm the one that the call got dropped.
Now I can understand you. What in the world is the difference?
I don't know. I apologize, Pastor Sanders.
I don't think it's your fault. I think it's phones. Go ahead.
The question I was asking was, we came to your camp meeting.
Okay.
We enjoyed it a lot. If people can't find a church in the area that they're in, like, is it okay, do you believe it's okay to watch, like, your videos, Brother Gann's videos, Pastor Sanderson's videos, until you can find a church that's actually teaching the Word of God?
I believe if you cannot find a church where you live, and there's not one close enough that you can drive, a church alive is worth the drive. You can then choose a church. We aren't already a lot of people's church around this country. They send their tithes here. They pay their offerings here. They get our videos. They get our CDs. We make everything we are available to them just like they were here. And we bless them. I got a check yesterday from one of our families for over $2,000. And it's helping us survive because there's not a lot of people in the Charlotte area that want a church like Paul Creek. They want something that's hip-hoppy, something that's flip-floppy. They want something that's loud and puts them dancing in the aisles. And I love dancing in the aisles when it's the Holy Spirit. And so we welcome them, and that's all I know to tell people.
Okay, because I've been listening to your sermons. I found Pastor Gann's online, and I'm so enjoying these sermons. I have a home church, and we do have a pastor that's preaching the Word, but there are a lot of places that don't have, that aren't teaching the Word of God. So
most of them are not.
Others.
I mean, it's hard to find a church that, see, preachers today, a lot of the holiness preachers are preaching T.D. Jakes sermons. Well, he's a Jesus only. And they're preaching his sermons. Why? Because they are easy for them to get and to kind of, you know, go through them and halfway memorize them, have the notes in front of them. And so much of the preaching is sermons instead of messages. Now, I want to explain that. The difference between a sermon and a message is the sermon is just an outline sermon that has, you know, good in it and nothing bad with it, but it has no deep substance to it. It's just something kind of full of emotion and something with the right sounds. But a message is when a man gets in the Word and brings you something scripturally that changes your life. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, sir.
And so that's the kind of messages that I preach, are messages that are right out of the book. I get them from the Holy Spirit. I don't look for nowhere to find a sermon. I don't believe in preaching sermons off the internet or sermons out of books or sermons from anywhere. If a preacher cannot hear from God and get a message by the Holy Ghost, he ought to get out of the pulpit.
Amen. Amen, brother. And one more thing. The bad thing is, though, that when Jesus comes back, those pastors that are leading their flocks astray are going to be, they're going to answer.
There's going to be a preacher killing after the rapture. Because people who've been led astray have followed these big-time dudes and gone after all this emotionalism. I mean, they're going to be angry. And maybe they'll get saved real quick so they don't kill their preacher. I hope they do. But it's going to be terrible. The day after the rapture will be the saddest day in human history. Multitudes who thought they were ready to go. I mean, read the Rick Warren's books. They warn you in his books. I read this for myself. Don't seek an experience. Experiences are dangerous. You aren't even saved until you have an experience of being born again. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been really on that so much. I know my children get tired of me. I share videos. I've seen little messages to them saying, you need to get ready because he's coming. And don't wait. Don't wait too late. So.
Oh, you're precious. Keep it up. Now, I know you live somewhere maybe not too far away. Come to see us sometime. Did you come to camp meeting this year?
Yes, sir. I'm the one that brought you the buttermilk pie.
Sister, start with a W now. I started to say it and couldn't get it out. What's the name? Myers. Sister Myers.
That's
Oh, bless your heart from Dillon, South Carolina. I hope you don't mind me telling your address. But I don't tell them your address. God bless you, Sister Myers. You know, have you heard this whole program?
Yes, sir.
Have I said the right things?
Oh, yes, sir. You're standing on the word.
You know, we've got to get people back to godliness. I was in the Church of God 40 some years. I've been saved 67 and a half now. And I remember coming in 1952, and the glory of God was in the church. The Shekinah would come down in the tabernacle over on Wilkerson Boulevard, and you see the blue smoke just fill the building, and people waving under it. And not emotionalism. I remember when it changed from being wonderful, exciting, yes, and great times of shout. But there's a difference in shout that comes out of melodious music and spiritual events and a shout that comes out of a fast song that somebody, beats the daylights out of the drums to create. I'm sorry. I don't want that music that just brings a shout. I want melodious music that lifts my spirit and puts me in communion with God.
Amen, brother.
God bless you, my sister. I'm so grateful you called. And you, why was I talking to you a while ago and I couldn't understand? Were you on a cell phone?
Yes, sir, I'm on a cell phone. And it's raining here, so that might be part of the problem.
Okay, raining. Listen, I've understood every word this time. It's been precious. Thank you, my dear sister. Hurry back to see us and bless you and your church, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye now. Hey, give us a call, folks. Great. Dana, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love it. I love it. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hi, this is Dave.
Hey, my friend.
Hi, so I basically had a bad experience after, my question to you, do you feel any condemnation?
Now listen, you're going to have to ask me questions and not tell me a lot of things happen because my time is very limited and you are very precious and I want everybody to really get something special out of this program. Now, what is your question to me?
My question is that, do you feel any condemnation in the point of...
Do I feel any condemnation?
With...
Now, you're asking me if I feel condemned because I tell the truth about false preachers. No, I don't feel condemned, not in the least. Why should I? The Holy Ghost called me to be a watchman on the wall. You understand what that is? A watchman warning people of the false. Have you ever read how Jesus called a man an old fox? Have you read in the Bible how it says that we are to expose those who destroy the flock? Have you read in the Bible where we are warned to stand for true doctrine and to expose false doctrine everywhere it appears? Have you ever read those scriptures?
I have.
You need to. You need to, okay? And I want to tell you right now, I am called of God to do what I do. And I do it with all my heart. And I have no desire. I pray for people who are in the wrong. I cry out to God for them. I weep and I just do the Lord's work. God bless you. Now, I move on. Give us a call, folks. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I got about 10 minutes, and I want to spend it very effectively. Now, I'm preaching in the morning. On this, the glory of the rapture. The glory of the rapture. And we our church is in a little of a crisis. We've lost some very dear people. But some of the problems was, I don't change. I don't go with the flow. We are an old-fashioned church. We're not going to be anything but an old-fashioned church. And we're going to love anybody. If somebody decides that we're not where they want to be, we're going to love them and pray that they'll return and that they know we love them and that they can come home. But in the meantime, God's given us new people, and you may be one of them that God is sending to an old fire. I'm telling you, there is two movements of religion. One's going left and one's going right. One's going in the realm of emotionalism or in the realm of... There are so many different aspects to this false until there's no way to put it in a clear blanket and say this is it. It is so varied and of so many different attitudes and emotions. I mean, it really is. But a solid work of God, a solid church where the Bible is preached and men stay on their faces in prayer, that's still where God wants His people. And that's where I'm going to be. And so don't take your chance on false religions and false churches and false stuff. Find you a solid place and settle down and become a good member. If there's rough times in that church, you stay right there and be part of digging out from those rough times. I mean, if things go wrong for a little while, know that that pastor may be under attack, but stand with him. If he's a true man of God, and you know whether I'm a true man of God or not, but what I preach, I've never really had anybody to question the truth of Brother Chambers. They question the stands I may take. I'm told all the time, I don't like everything about you, but I sure know you're for real, you know, because I'm just for real. That's all I am, for real. The Bible is the way, the truth, and the light. And I don't want nothing else but the Holy Book. Oh, bless your heart. Hey, school. Our school. What is it? 6 weeks till school starts? 6 weeks? That's about right. 6 weeks. Something close to that. And I've got the best teachers you can imagine. They are outstanding. You talk about quality. One of them's in here today helping with this broadcast. Wonderful teacher. Wonderful teacher. Just got a degree 2 years ago. And she taught the third and fourth grade, and she was outstanding. Hey, and our new high school teacher is Reverend or Dr. Tom Tatum. Anybody in the Church of God, anybody connected with the Church of God knows Tom Tatum. Solid as a rock. Solid as a rock. Doctor's degree, educated man. He was the director of the Lee College Institute, a group that from Lee College, but it was a group here in Charlotte, or an extension. That's what I meant to say, an extension of Lee College. He was over it for some years. I don't know how long, but he's a great man. He's going to teach our high school, him and Ms. Ginger Charles and more. But we're talking about top-notch. Ginger Charles and Tom Tatum upstairs in that high school department will be out of this world good. And our academics is top of the list. I mean, our kids easily will go a year or 2 years above national norm. If they're hard workers. Now, if they're not a hard worker, you can't make any kid become that if they don't want to work. And if mamas and daddies won't make them. But boy, if they'll work, they can just go right to the top. And we just got a great school, Paul Creek Christian Academy. Do you know we started in 1974? And we've had an excellent reputation all through these years. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for what He's done for us. And this year will be better, even better. So get over here tomorrow, Monday, I'm sorry. Get you a packet and get yourself ready. Get your kids in here. Get your kids out of the public schools that's absolutely gone to hell. Excuse the language. Sodomy. I mean, all of that stuff is free to go and run rampant, and nobody is going to stop it, and you better not open your mouth. It's part of the new liberalism, and I'm telling you, you don't want your children there if you've got good faith and good understanding. God bless you. I love you. I'm not being fussy. I'm just letting you know I love you. Any other calls here? I want you called. Now, I really want you to have this article. Spiritual wickedness, a crisis in the church. Spiritual wickedness. I didn't get to those eight things. They'll be on Facebook here in a little bit, okay? They'll be on Facebook. I don't have time to read them, I don't think. They are outstanding. Outstanding. You know, there once was a day when God's people were protected by angels. Do you know what preachers now do today? Most of them have a gun in their pulpit. A gun in their pulpit. I get amazed at that. I thought about doing that, and God stopped me so flat. I was amazed at how he stopped me and said, son, you trust in my angels. They'll take care of you. And so I trust in the angel. Well, there's a number of things here. It'll be on front of the Facebook. Hey, send this to everybody you know. Right now, go and hit that button that says share, okay? I'm looking for another call. I wanted one more call before I went off the air. One more call, one more person to ask me some good questions because I'm helping others when I'm answering your questions. I'm helping others, and that's what I want to do. So give me a call, and I want to help you. And I want to be a blessing. Spiritual wickedness, a crisis in the church. Wonderful article. We'll send it to you. We have all kinds of CDs and DVDs. And next week, I plan to do a program on the new music, the contemporary music from the gates of hell. The contemporary music. That was a presentation done in the camp meeting on Saturday. He did a marvelous job. Have a CD and a DVD of that, and you can order that, and you can have the full picture. And I'm going to share it with you 1 week from today, the Lord willing. The Lord willing. I got so much to share and so much to bring to you. I never do get caught up. I really never do get caught up. Let me get some music here ready for you. You know, music is so good, isn't it? I love good music. I love good music. I love the kind of music that is a blessing. That is a blessing. I'm trying to get back there to what I'm looking for, and I'm not sure that I can. Well, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. If I can't, I'll just play what I had a while ago because that was good. That was wonderful, and I loved it. Now, I love you. It's a joy to be your friend. Get yourself ready for the Lord. Hey, come to church tomorrow. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte. Preaching starts at 11 o'clock, we're singing. And preaching starts a little after. And we have lunch in the cafeteria for all our visitors. I plan to cook a pot of field peas and corn in a little while to bring tomorrow for the meal. Field peas, I went to the farmer's market this morning and got it. Field peas and corn fresh out of the garden. I'm going to cook it this afternoon and have it for tomorrow. I may make a pie. You know, we just have a great day. We just have a great church, and we have a great time here in this church. We do the Lord's work with all our hearts. That's all we're out for, is to do the Lord's work. You don't want to miss school. You don't want to miss this program 1 week from today. You want to tell your friends about it. You really do. Join me on Facebook. If you're not one of my friends, you call, you send a request, and I'll watch for it. If I can know who you are, I get so many, I can't take them all. I would long ago been over the limits if I'd taken everybody. So I just try to select somebody that I think I'm going to be a blessing to. And I want to be a blessing to you. And I want you to know the Lord's coming. He's coming any minute, and I'm preaching in the morning. You hear me again? I'm preaching in the morning. I'm fixing to go off the air now, so I'm preaching in the morning on the glory of the rapture. Can you imagine anything more wonderful than that? The glory of the rapture. Are you getting ready for the rapture? Are you getting ready for the rapture? I think
in the middle of the air.
Hey, listen, we're going to go. We're leaving here. I'm sorry. I brought that in a little erratic.
And I believe that the trumpet is going to sound so loud. One day it'll wake the dead. And in the swing.
time is nearing. We'll soon see his appearing.